Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the precious Word of God. Thank you for these graduates and these people here today to support them. Lord, this thing of God has been played with today so much that so many people know Him in name, but that's all. And that may be one of the reasons why I heard this one report in England. 2/3 of the people who, young people who come up in school and graduate high school, leave the church and never go back to it when they get in their own or get into college there. There's a massive movement in this day that's destroying the foundations. It has to do with God and His plan and His purpose. And Lord, we can't, in religion, they're building more stages than they are building churches. They're building more performance than they are trying to set the pace, the table for the Word of God to be proclaimed. And I pray this morning that this message will be the hour to help these young people and ourselves that are here to realize how important the things of God are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may take your seat. If you will, first of all, take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel, if you will. Daniel chapter 12. While you're turning there, I got something this past week that fit in line for the message today. We're going to be talking about how does knowledge and wisdom go together. The Bible has a lot to say about these two. And sometimes we know them in name, but we don't know them in definition. I read where there's two men. They were in the sawmill business. And one day, one of the workers got so close to the saw while he was sawing off a log, he cut his ear off. And it fell off in the sawdust. And he got down there looking at that thing. And the other fellow saw him jump down. And what was going on? He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I've cut my ear off." He said, "I can't find it." He said, "Let me help you." And he got down and got to looking, and suddenly that guy rose up and he said, "Hey, I found an ear right here." And he said, "Let me see it." And he looked at it and he said, "That's not mine. Mine had a pencil in it." Well, the Bible says a lot about hearing. And it has to do not necessarily with physical ears, although that is important. And sometimes we do hear words like you hear this morning. But it's to hear from our heart in turn and our mind be controlled by that for the glory of God. So look with me in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Verse 3 and 4, and he said, "And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and ever." You know, the Scripture teaches us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Scripture teaches us in Proverbs 11 and verse 30, "He that winneth souls is wise." Well, it teaches us here, as Daniel is speaking, that he shall be wise, shine, the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end of the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was written over 2,500 years ago when it was written. And we're living at age that's coming true today, 2,500 years later. We have more knowledge than ever, and we'll look at that as we talk about wisdom. Now, if you look with me also in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of the father and of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they," what? The instruction in verse 8, and those instructions he's talking about, "shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chained about thy neck." He said again, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Instruction means that which you study and learn from studying or hearing something taught to be able to put it to practice, and wisdom helps do that. If you'll also look with me in chapter 9 and verse 10, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now, interesting. You say, wait a minute, which is first? He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." But he also follows that with, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." God is saying, we need to know these two terms, wisdom and knowledge, and how they work together, because unless they do work together with God's help, you and I will never exceed like we should exceed. You have a lot of information in your head and not know one thing about how to use that. And Satan fights this. He wants you to have knowledge, but sometimes the knowledge we have takes it away from God. Well, that's not wisdom, because wisdom will teach us some things. Now watch. If you look with me also in chapter, look with me in chapter 4, and we'll read a few verses. Solomon says, now get wisdom, get understanding. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is knowledge. But here he says, get wisdom. Isn't that amazing? And he talks about understanding. He said, forget it not. Now, when he talks about this, it must be something that's extraordinary about wisdom. Now, get wisdom, get understanding, but forget it not. That means forget not the wisdom part, because God only can give us that, like should be, when it comes to him. And watch what he says. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, forsake not wisdom. She shall preserve thee. Who shall preserve thee? Wisdom. Love her, that's wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, does it mean that you shouldn't study? No, Paul tells us, study the Word of God. And you know this, we live in the age of knowledge, and knowledge increases faster when you learn how to study. And you learn how to apply knowledge discipline yourself for that purpose of studying. But a lot of information here will not work too much unless you have the wisdom to apply it in a practical exercise of your life. And isn't it amazing? This book is so up to date in our time that where we're living at, where man is ever increasing, never coming to knowledge of the truth, and end up for them the wisdom to apply knowledge correctly, and yet what knowledge they get drives them further from God and set her closer to God. And so Solomon is warning us about this. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Don't fail to have wisdom. Do you know a lot of folks have understanding at times about God's word, but they don't have the wisdom to apply it or won't use the wisdom to apply it, and suddenly their understanding is limited. Because God's not going to give us something in understanding of knowledge unless we apply it, and you have to have wisdom to apply it correctly, and that's what God does with his word. And he goes on, he said, and with that getting, get understanding, exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou embracest her. So she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver. So in these verses, we see, if you look in chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Isn't that amazing? Look at the two words there. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. But then notice he said, and the man that getteth understanding. In other words, if I understand that, you won't get the understanding of knowledge unless you study for it. On the other hand, when you're studying for it, there is that equation of asking God, give me wisdom to understand how that applies to me. Give me wisdom how I can make it practical in my life. Give me wisdom that will help me something now for the future as I go, my vocation, whatever it is, in this particular life. Revelation 2 and 3 says again, in all those seven churches, he that hath the ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And of course, again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak to you just for a few minutes, and young folks, listen to this. If you ever remember anything, remember what we're saying today, because this is where you've just gained knowledge where you're at. Many of you are going to try to gain more knowledge in the future about something, and knowledge is important in life, but wisdom is important too. And when you get knowledge and it drives you from God, then you're going to realize that something's happened, and therefore maybe didn't use wisdom as available, and wisdom is very important. So how does knowledge and wisdom go together? Now, there's no question what I've just read to you in our minds that we are living in the last days, and one of the signs of the last time is this vast increase of knowledge. We read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, he said, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to know things have changed more in the last few years than they did in many years before. And I know this, knowledge has increased more in the last few years in my lifetime than ever in man's history over a period of time. And I went back and looked. Before the days of internet, by the way, I happen to remember those days. Before the days of internet, one think tank reported, it stated that knowledge is exploding at such a rate like more than 2,000 pages a minute today. Even Einstein, they said, could not keep up with his IQ. In fact, if you read, according to one quotation, if you read 24 hours a day from the age of 21 to 70, listen to me, that's all you did. You just read 24 hours a day constantly from 20 years old to 70 years old and retain all you read. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could retain what you read? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could retain everything that you learned the last 12 years or the 4 years in college? None of us can do that. It's there somewhere or another, but bringing it back. You just can't push a button. And most of us don't have, we're not geniuses, but we're close. At least we think we are, amen. But anyhow, yeah. In fact, if you read 24 hours a day, and from 21 to 70, retain all you read, you would be 1.5 million years behind when you finish due to the explosion of knowledge today, how it's moving. It's moving much faster than what you could read 24 hours a day, according to this statistic. Now, it's said that since the beginning of the internet, when would that start? Anyone got an idea? I've only mentioned enough to look it up. But I know it's been in my lifetime. So I know what it was years ago when you had to count on your fingers. or you had a little calculator. It amazes me. I've seen a history thing the other day. You know what they were doing? They were taking young people and setting things before them and asked them, what was it? And so help me, they set a telephone in some of those young people, and they were trying to figure out, what in the world is it? What could it be? They set an old-timey dictating machine before them. They did not guess what it was. They said it must be something they had to do. One person said, it's got to be communication, but not how it works. What's those dials on there for? They've sat there. These young people had grown up in the day when they didn't have nothing like that, had never seen anything like that themselves. I guess they had to be somewhere between 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10 years old. And they did not literally know. They had an idea, but they didn't know how they worked. And it was amazing, those things they put before them that used to be years ago very important things, but today it's so far forgotten they had not even been introduced to them at all in their lives. And so this is more knowledge presented on any given day, on any subject, than could have been shared in a year 50 years ago. It is said that since the beginning of the internet, the growth has grown by over 1,000%. And I would say probably the internet went, could I say roughly beginning stages in the 60s or maybe 70s? Is it later than that? I'd say anything I want to then, can't I? Amen. But anyhow, this is more knowledge than you can think. Of course, the increase in knowledge does not affect everyone equally. It takes a lot longer for me to read things and learn it, probably some of you, faster than I would be. But what I'm saying to you, yet many choose to remain ignorant in our day with this vast knowledge that we have before us as just at a click of a button somewhere or another. I read years ago, a few weeks ago I confirmed this, there was a story of a young man went to Socrates in his day and he asked to learn knowledge. And Socrates, what you want to know? I want to learn. I want you to teach me some knowledge. And the story goes that Socrates led him down to some water about waist deep. And he grabbed him and put him down in that water for a little bit of time. And then he brought him up and he said, now tell me what you want. He said, I want some knowledge. I want you to teach me knowledge, oh wise Socrates. And he grabbed him again and threw him down in the water for about 30 seconds and brought him up. He said, now what was it you wanted? He said, I wanted you, old Socrates, to teach me wisdom. Socrates pushed him down in there again about 45 seconds and came up again. He said, what was that you wanted? He said, I wanted knowledge and wisdom. This time he put him back in there and kept him under 60 seconds. He came up, what do you want? He came up screaming, I want air, I want to drown. And Socrates, when you get to want wisdom and knowledge as bad as you wanted air, then look for it. Boy, I thought that's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. When you desire wisdom and knowledge as you have just desired the air, then, he said, you're at the place where you can really have it. It's a desire. Because you see what? You will discipline yourself to have knowledge, or it will not come. Oh, you'll have some, but you have to find those areas of life that you have to study that would enhance you as you go through. So the Bible describes wisdom, he says, as the principal thing. And for us to get it in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. Now, let me give you three quick points about how does knowledge and wisdom come together. Number one, simply this. Knowledge is not a bad thing to have most of the time. But ladies and gentlemen, do not let that knowledge that you learn leads you from God. Because that's bad. There's nothing in this world that we can learn in science and math and other things that really to lead us from God unless we allow someone put something in there to deny God because we feel like we have arrived in our day with knowledge beyond anything man's ever seen before. Knowledge can make a difference, make life a little easier. But knowledge alone is not enough. For knowledge is to be as good as it can be, we must be able to use knowledge with wisdom. And that's the reason the Bible said so much with Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived. Knowledge comes from what we have studied in life. And wisdom comes from using that what we know and sometimes having wrong results. Did you know that failing sometimes can be a blessing if it keeps us moving on? Think about Edison. I don't know how many. I read one time he failed 1,000 times or hundreds of times, I know. And yet it never stopped him from trying to keep finding the ingredients for a light bulb. For knowledge to be useful, wisdom must be applied. But most of this world uses its knowledge based upon wisdom of the world, but not God. And how does that work? That means this. Anybody you hear teaching you in a class, I don't care if it's a professor in the college or wherever it's at, anyone that teaches you in class that God is exempt because he's not existent is false knowledge. Because there's enough history behind to prove that if you look at man as he is, he did not evolve himself. He's too complicated. Be like us coming here one day, and it's a wonderful thing. This building just happened. No, there's a mind behind this building. And therefore, everything you have, there's a mind behind it. That shows intelligent design. And if you look at that, it can't, you know, someone may just believe, make us try, give us information, make us want to believe there's no God, but to do so is because sometimes we may be wishing they won't and therefore just line up with them. By the way, you have a lot of those these days. But here, God has given us information. Man in general thinks he is better than God, or does not believe in a supreme God at all. It says that most of the world uses knowledge based on the wisdom of the world without God. Man in general, as he looks at himself, he takes the Bible states that the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord is of holy understanding. So man just doesn't believe in a supreme God. In Proverbs chapter 9, the scripture again gives us this verse. When you look in 9 and verse 10, he says to us, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Isn't that amazing? Someone said, well, I don't believe there's a God, but wait, God said the knowledge of the Holy One, we know that he's talking about, that's understanding. Isn't it amazing what the world says and what God says is entirely opposite of each other? And yet we find that God is true, and let him be true, and every man a liar. And so it says, happy in verse chapter 3, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth knowledge and getteth wisdom. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, Paul warned Timothy that the last days there would come a time that man would never be able to find the truth. Why is that? Man in his own energy will never be able to find the truth. Why? Because the Bible teaches us, ladies and gentlemen, that because man refuses to accept Jesus Christ as truth, and that the end that is because he says, I am, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you can mark everything he said in here is truth. That means simply that man is apt to come up wrong if he denies Jesus Christ. And in kind of what man may say is wisdom today. So hear me, if mankind won't accept Jesus as truth, and he won't accept that God is the creator, and he won't accept that the source of knowledge and wisdom is from God, how can mankind ever use what he learns wisely? And he can't. He can't because his wisdom to that knowledge is not the right wisdom because he's applying knowledge wrong by denying God when there's so much knowledge that God exists. And yet you don't hear that from the secular world. So knowledge is not bad to have most of the time, but anytime it leads us away from God, then that's poor wisdom. Now, second thing I want you to notice, knowledge and wisdom without the fear of the Lord is a very dangerous thing. And that's what we see in Proverbs 1:7, Proverbs 9:10, and Proverbs 3:13. Fear to most people is what happens when you sense danger that invokes thoughts of distress and emotions in life. But fear of the Lord means having an accurate view of God. And when you have an accurate view of God, God will help us have an accurate view of ourselves. And we'll see, no matter what our IQ is, that we need Him. We'll see, no matter how high in knowledge we have, God is a lot smarter. And we'll see, as you look at someone in a classroom to teach you something that you want to learn, the greatest teacher of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so what He says is true. If I can listen to the person in a classroom who's got his information from someone from a book, then let me listen to someone about God who's got his information from a book, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. And it's important. So we look again. Fear of the Lord means having an accurate view of God and ourselves. Then the one who fears the Lord will say with Isaiah in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, His ways are higher than our ways. His words are greater than our words. And therefore, they need to be listened to. I need to ask God for the wisdom as I read. Lord, this book is divine. I have a problem because I have flesh that's fallen from Adam. So I need wisdom to understand the information and knowledge of this book that God gives about Himself. So knowledge creates within the heart of man a source of temptation that he doesn't understand or need. So you can have knowledge in good. We're in amazing. God has given us the ability, every one of us, the capability to learn. Until we lose that capability, it starts with our mind. And so here, within our heart is the source of temptation as we learn things that we don't understand them or how we need them. Adam and Eve is a prime example of that when in Genesis 3, verse 5 through 7. Satan's temptation was too much for them because it caused them to desire that led them to their fall. For what? What more could Adam and Eve want it that they didn't have? Why would all that God had made given to them, why would it just one thing they didn't know about that tree of knowledge of good and evil, why would they even dare listen to Satan about one thing when they had 99.99999% they didn't say a word about? Because knowledge will also cause us to be tempted about something if the flesh desires it and someone says that you shouldn't have it. How do I know that? Because you take man in his fallen condition. You tell an ordinary man he can't have or can't do something, he may try to prove to you that he can, no matter what happens. And here we find God giving us good information. Adam and Eve are a prime example of this. Satan's temptation was too much for them. They had it all, and yet they threw it away to know something that only God knew. I don't even think Satan knew. He knew, though, there's something about that tree that he tempted Eve about. Amen? And she suddenly said, well, all this I know. What is it, God? Maybe Satan reasoned with her. With all this is so great, that may be even greater. Nothing is greater to disobey God. Nothing. And therefore, we have to know what the Scripture says about that. So Satan's temptation was too much for them. Why could not Adam and Eve been satisfied with the knowledge that they had already been given? No, because knowledge sometimes can be used to tempt us to deny God. Especially when today, you see, here's the thing. Adam and Eve didn't have nobody but themselves and God and Satan. That's all the ones in the garden. But you and I have hundreds of people who we go through every day that tell us one thing is right, and very few of them will tell us when it's wrong. A lot of folks will tell us about anything's right today. Why? We don't have the knowledge enough to know. There's people today that, how can in the sight of God, who wrote this book, because many don't believe he wrote it, who wrote this book, could see anything else about abortion, or homosexuality, or lesbian, or these things that God said, even if it's Old Testament, that he put a curse on those things. And yet, people today feel like, you know, Jesus, you know what the mentality is today? Hear me. I guarantee you agree if you look much. Mentality today, all I need is that ticket to heaven, and I need to be reserved from hell, and it doesn't matter how much I live, just as long as I know I'm going to heaven. That's a lie of the pit of hell. Amen. And that shows you the nation we come into now fishing to crumble because we've got people in positions who abandon what God has to say because they think their God, which they have created, is important enough that we don't have to worry about those things. And so here, I see sometimes you hear someone say, I wish I knew what God knows. That sounds pretty good. But I'm going to be honest, I thought about that in the last week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to just learn what he wants to teach me. And do you know he wants to teach us? But did you know you stay away from this book and you won't learn nothing? The Holy Spirit is bound himself by this inspired word to teach our hearts. You say, well, amazing me, he's teaching everybody different things. No, we're teaching different things. God only has one way. And the sad part about that, when I stand before him one day, I'll give more account to any one of you in here, because I preach this book as much as I have for the last 56 years. And that horrifies me. That's the reason I put much study into it. Maybe that's the reason God made me a little dumber so I'd have to study harder. But I know this. Here I know what I have to study. Here I know that I have to study God's Word. Here I know I have to study God's Word to be approved unto God. I know I've got to study His Word to be a workman that should not be ashamed. I know I've got to study His Word because of my ignorance of His Word and His ways. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study the Word of God, that you may prove yourself to Him. Again, as I look then, knowledge is not a bad thing most of the time. Knowledge also in wisdom without fear of God is very dangerous. But the last thing quickly, number three, to have knowledge brings tremendous responsibility to use that knowledge wisely and correctly. Maybe that's the reason some people don't like study. Because God is setting forth, when you and I have knowledge given to us, then we have a great responsibility to utilize that knowledge and the wisdom that comes with that as we ask for it. There seems to be a reasoning that the more that we think we know, the more we presume to know more about God just because we know those things concerning our own lives and what we do with our lives. Or at least there is a mentality to think things of that way. Oh, of course, the more I know now, I've got enough sense not to know what I've taught by the Sunday school class in the sick when I was down in those Sunday school classes. That's bad knowledge. Because more than likely, what was taught there helped you more in your character if you listen to it and practice it than what you have when you get older. Because older helps us in mentality for practicing something mostly for a gain. That's the reason we go that way. We look for that gain. But God starts in here first. It's a gain, all right, but it's a gain that revolutionizes our life to serve the living God. So here I understand God knew that man would find a way to abuse the knowledge that he attained after he has fallen in the garden, Genesis 3:22. And I shudder to the thought as I did this message, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine what it'd be like if the fact that this old world would be like if no one had died since Adam's day and the mess of the world we're in now? Can you imagine if no one had died with the sin as it personifies itself and everybody from Adam's day, which would be 6,000 years old or older, to our day is still alive? I guarantee you one thing, we'd be walking like this so many people on the earth, probably. Sin. See, God would have closed this thing out a long time ago if man hadn't sinned. God got a love of compassion heart. And he looks at humanity down through the ages and knows they're made in the image of God. And they got a place God has prepared for them, but they can't go unless they go to the place and utilize that which he prepared for them at that particular time years ago. In Ecclesiastes verse 1:18 says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. This is without God. This world don't see that though. Did you hear what he said, what Solomon said? Let me read it again to you. For in much wisdom is much grief. Well, why get it then? Because the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Why get it then? Because the fear of the Lord is knowledge. In other words, those things help us. So what happens, he's setting to have the pace that if you have wisdom or knowledge without the fear of the Lord, that's reverential fear, not like man looks at it. Then in turn, that individual is thinking the wrong way. I mean, this is without God, completely without God. Well, I do not think that we should remain ignorant. And I know that. You know that. I think this is great. I think what Christmas did is great. I think anytime you can get higher and higher in education, and I found this out today, ladies and gentlemen, you won't work nowhere much in the jobs of the day unless you have to continue education somewhere. It's too technical. It's changing too fast. I mean, you go to school now for a certain, I don't care, just a specific project. Now, you go to school now for that specific project, and 5-6 years from now, you have to go back to school again because it's changed. That's how fast things are moving today. Well, I don't think that we should remain ignorant. I know that more knowledge, and hear me on this, and I'm by through. I know then that the more knowledge we gain brings heavy burdens. And the more knowledge we gain makes one aware that the more that we know, the more life will demand of us. That may be some reason somebody said, well, I'm just going to sit back and not do nothing. And by the way, it is true. The more knowledge you have, the more this world demands of you. Fact, it could be a means the more God could use you in this world. Well, preacher, I don't understand that. But I'll tell you this. Let me give you an example, for instance, a thought. If you do not know how to repair a car, don't ever expect anybody to ask you to repair the car. Amen? I mean, good, if you don't have the knowledge, nobody's going to bother you about that. But if you're a mechanic know how to repair a car, there's going to be some people asking you to use that knowledge for their car. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you don't know how to cook, don't ever think somebody's going to ask you to cook something. But if you have the knowledge to cook, some people are going to be asking you to use that knowledge. And that'll be by the way, it could be a heavy burden sometimes too. Right, ladies? Amen. If you were going to repair a TV set, if you learn how to repair TV sets, there are going to be a demand, a burden, asking of you to use that knowledge. You may get a little fun for it, but it'll still be there. If you don't know how to repair a TV set, don't worry about it. You won't ever have to have nobody ask you to repair a TV set. What I'm saying, knowledge brings a burden to it. It really makes us aware that what happens in life. Then no one would ever ask to do these errors. Also, the higher up the ladder, and I say that to this, because the higher up the ladder of education people go, generally, the harder it is to reach them with the gospel. These people generally go to a religion that makes no demands on them much, other than the fact just be there and kind of pacify their mind and their heart. In other words, it's like a smorgasbord. You just choose where to go when you get there. Wonder why, ladies and gentlemen, today that most churches being built are built with stages rather than with choir loss and a baptism pool. I remember when churches didn't have a baptism pool and they were tickled to death when they started putting them in there. The reason for it is people are going to look at a stage show and be entertained. And then someone can get up and say something. I heard this morning early, and it hit right this here, that where this person was talking about a new man taking over the church organization. And here's what they said. We changed the name to put just the fellowship. That's all we're going to call it. And the reason for that in our day, when you put Baptist and Presbyterian and Free Will and all these things on there, even Catholic, it divides you into a group whereas other people won't come. And we want our doors open to all. And so when they come in here, they won't feel intimidated because of some doctrine. Well, why go there? Amen. Right. If God can't have the freedom to bring conviction, why go there? Amen. And yet, here, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are attending that church now because of that. What is that makes knowledge worth knowing? It's knowing the source of knowledge in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to know the Lord, knowledge obtained suddenly has a deeper meaning before than ever before. And because with knowledge, we gain wisdom to use it through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that if you're born again, lives in you and I. The Holy Spirit is there to help us, the down payment, to not only understand the Word of God, but also understand how it can apply to our life and what we should be doing other than maybe the vocation that we're in. All God's people need to be somewhere or another. And by the way, God has a place for us all. And I believe with all my heart, if you seek God's will and God arranges you to be placed somewhere or another, for some reason, that's your placement at that time. Because I believe God, if you really want love Him, want Him to serve Him, He's going to open doors for us. And when those doors open, some reason or another, that's your place at that time until He burdens you to move somewhere else or whatever it may be done. And so here we know knowledge, we gain the wisdom to use it through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And this is always wonderful, for we want to know more and more about God the Father, about God the Son, about God the Holy Spirit, about God's Word, about His ways. I was studying a few weeks ago in the message I'm going to preach tonight. It just blessed me so much. Man alive. Anyhow, James 1 says, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Knowledge will be a blessing and not a curse if God-given wisdom is applied to it, and he wants to do that. It's his desire to do that. It won't change anything in a sense. Knowledge can help you grow and be smart in a lot of ways. But don't never let anyone be so smart to take you away from God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's a disaster in the end results. Young people, it's one thing to know the truth. And everyone in here, it's one thing to know the truth about God. It's another thing to act on that truth. May I leave with you these verses in James chapter 1 and see what James had to say down in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Watch this. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, we've heard that all our lives. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Did you know that you can't be a doer of the word unless you know what the word is? Amen. Did you know that reason God said the fear of the Lord is understanding, or his knowledge to start with, which has to do with understanding? Did you know that God is desired to teach? And you know why I know that? Because the day you and I got saved, he gave us his Holy Spirit. He didn't leave us like the Old Testament saints were under the system of Levitical system. He gave us his Holy Spirit that day to help us with this new inspired word connecting the Old Testament with the new in the transition period we sit in the book of Acts. And so here, notice he said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And by the way, that's what bad knowledge will do when it comes. This is the mirror of God's word. So if he can get man away from the mirror of God's word, he's not reflected who he is by looking at what man says on the outside of this book. But this book, he said, will show you. And if you don't do something about it, rather than just hearing it, that moment, then eventually Satan will snatch it away. And you find it has no meaning whatsoever. And then notice in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that this man shall be blessed indeed. We all suffer the lack of wisdom and knowledge in this life at times. I'm sure now, I know now, as dumb as I am, that I could have learned a lot more in my life than I have. I just spend more time at it. But study is wearisome. And young folks, that's something you'll find you'll be doing the rest of your life to some degree. None of us has full knowledge of how things actually are in this life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 30. The Bible says, in Christ Jesus, watch this, in Christ, go read it, in Christ Jesus, God is made unto us wisdom. Isn't that amazing? I studied this book. I'd say I'm not saved. I've studied this book. And so I enjoy reading this book. But I inquire, it don't make sense to me. It don't make sense. But do you know Christ? No. Well, that's the reason. Because in Christ, the Holy Spirit reveals this truth. But without Christ, you'll never understand it and not have the wisdom to apply. Because in Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, God has made unto us wisdom. So it's good to seek knowledge, but do not forget to ask God for the wisdom to use the knowledge you get correctly, because in James 1:5 again, he said, if any man lack wisdom, he didn't say knowledge here, let him ask of God. Why? He's already said knowledge is going to be at its height in the end of the age. Men's going to run to and fro increasing in knowledge. That's going to be here. So it's obvious God's word is correct. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Knowledge is here. It's double now. I just read. You could read from 20-something to 70 years old and be behind years. Never stay up by the way it's increasing every few years. And so it's here where you will see just how knowledge and wisdom go together with God's help. And I guarantee you, if you know anything else out, you watch people, if you know anything about this book, you'll find there's a lot of folk. Don't make us experts. Don't make us super Christians. No, sir. God will keep us humble. That's one thing for sure. The more you know about this book, know about him, the more humble you're going to walk before God. Because this book don't reverse like the world. This world will feed us so much that we get so proud, and, you know, sometimes it's just hard to be around. But this book will keep us humble. And ladies and gentlemen, you can be sure that knowledge and wisdom go together with God's help. And may you not forget, knowledge is good, but some knowledge can be bad. Only if it takes you away from God. My Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, for the book. I thank you for the instructions. I thank you what little bit I've known. I pray this today won't mean much or a lot, but I believe with all my heart, by being in the hearing of this, Lord, somewhere down the road, it could be for these young folks, the Lord will come back 10 years from now, and suddenly they face a crisis somewhere or another. And they say, as I've had so many come through the years back and say, you know, I heard this, preacher Ennis, but it didn't mean nothing. But I want you to know, I faced something this past week that God brought those thoughts back to my mind. And I remember that. And I remember where my source of power was at. I remember where my source of comfort was at. It was in the God that I learned about while I was in church. The God that my Sunday school teachers talked about and confirmed by those who preached in that church and those who had access to the Word of God. God, Holy Spirit, led me in a direction that made it a lot more comfortable and easier for me than it would have been if I had not have known you. Father, help us understand even what the world talks about intellectualism and knowledge and wisdom. You've laid out a plan, and you gave us the truth about what God is telling us. You said if we lack wisdom, we can come to you and ask for it, and God will give it to us. That just crowns my heart, helps me understand in my mind that my studying must be a continuous thing of discipline myself. Even though knowledge is so easy to attain today. I was just talking to some people recently. Lord, I'm grateful that with all the books I have, my library, I'm grateful that though I love books, I'm grateful when I'm doing a research on something now that I don't have to go to Strong's or go to my Greek lecture or whatever it may be and begin to look something up, which would take hours sometimes to do, that you can go to the internet and click on something and have it within just a minute or two or even in seconds. So it saves time. Help us understand, you let us live in an age that knowledge is plentiful. But God, we need that wisdom that only God can give. Bless these young people and they're going to college or trade or whatever they're going to, that you lead them into. And may they learn more so as an adult than they ever has, even as a young person, to seek your face, set some time with you, open this book and say, Lord, please reveal to my heart who you are. Deeper meaning than I had yesterday or last year or year before that. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.